I want to thank Pastor Jeff Harper because he was going to be preaching this morning. He said, Pastor Sam, you can preach this morning. And I'm glad because my parents are here too. And they are visiting from the state of Oregon. They've been here. They were here last weekend. And we had them this week. And I told Mom and Dad they're welcome to stay another month if they want to. It's warm down here. It's cold up there. It's dry here. It's rainy up there. So a lot of reasons why to visit for a little longer time here in Southern California. What I would like to share with you this morning has to do with witnessing. And we've all been called to witness. We've been called to share with others what we have seen, heard, and experienced as Christians. And if we go to John, the first letter of John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, this is what he says regarding witnessing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you go to verse 4, it says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Is it easy to witness, brothers and sisters? It isn't. It's actually hard. And if we look at our scripture reading, John was in the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's not joy, to be in jail, to be basically stranded on an island, banished there. And we've been studying the book of Revelation, specifically the seven churches. And we found that the message to the seven churches is a message to people who were going through hard times, tribulations. But they were invited to overcome, to witness for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was only 21 years old when she came to this country. She came as a refugee with her parents. And coming to a new country and basically coming to the city. She was coming to the city of Philadelphia. And she was not used to all this change. A new language. She was brought up in a small, small town where everybody knew each other. Now a large city where nobody knows each other. Winters, snow. She's never seen snow in her life. And all of a sudden, you come here and you start working because you need to pay those bills and you need to buy food, something that, boy, they grew their food where she came from. Now you went to a store to buy it. And there she is working in this factory and making some cart boxes, packaging things she had never seen before. But one thing she did notice, that was that in the winter time and fall time, winters had long nights and short days. And she noticed that, boy, by 5 o'clock, it was already pitch dark. It was nighttime. And she understood one thing. She understood that once the sun goes down on Friday night, what is it, brothers and sisters? It's a Sabbath. What do? Well, her sister and she decided they were going to stop working 30 minutes before the sun went down. And that meant almost 30 minutes before 5 o'clock. She didn't know all the rules there at the factory, but once they noticed 4:30, it's time to go, and they just took off. And they went home. They wanted to prepare for the Sabbath day. On Monday, they came back to work. And the manager was surprised to see them there because they thought, hey, they didn't like the job. Boom, they left. That's it. They had left their paycheck. It was Friday, so they were going to get paid that day. They didn't even pick up their paycheck. So the manager came up to them and said, what happened on Friday? You guys left before work was done, and you didn't even get your paycheck. And the answer to this lady who was their manager, it's the Sabbath. The Sabbath. She was surprised. Aren't you Christians? Yes, we're Christians. Why the Sabbath? You see, she was Jewish. And she did not practice her faith. But she was surprised to see Christians who were willing to keep the Sabbath. She said, next Friday, you can leave before the sun sets. But don't forget to get your paycheck. This lady was my mom when she came to this country. Witnessing. You don't always have to say it with words. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. And Scripture invites us to trust God in sharing the good news with others. I would like to invite you to go back to our Bible text found in Revelation chapter 1. But instead of going to verse 9, we're going to start with verse 2. Revelation chapter 1, verse 2. And here John calls himself he who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. John calls himself here a witness. I am a witness of what I have seen of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he's not ashamed of calling himself a witness because in verse 5, he tells us something. There is one other witness. There's one other person who came to declare to us who God is and how much he loves us. And verse 5 tells us, and from Jesus Christ, who is what, brothers and sisters? The faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. John was saying, hey, I'm following another witness. It's not about me. I'm following the faithful witness. His name is Jesus. And he was so faithful that he came and he washed my sins away. Can we give witness of that? We serve a risen Savior who's washed our sins away. Amen. That's good news. That's the message that John was sharing with those around him. And then he tells us what we find in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in what, brothers and sisters? Tribulations. Do witnesses go through tribulations? Hard times? Difficult times? Yes, they do. And John knew that he wasn't the only one who was witnessing. There were others around him who were also witnessing. And they knew that they were in danger, being banished, just like John, out on an island. They knew they were in danger of having all their possessions taken away from them. They knew that they were in danger even of death. They were willing to risk it all. Why? Why were these men and women willing to risk it all for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And it tells us that these witnesses were also brothers and companion in the kingdom and also patients of Jesus Christ. And John tells us that he was on this island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is where I find the reason for John doing this. He says it clearly, because of the word of God. That was his motive. He knew that this was God's revelation for humanity. In it, you find everything that you need to have eternal life. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's God's word. And in his word, he has given us ample instruction to live. And as we read, to live in a joyous way, in a productive way, in a meaningful way. And John had found that out. He had experienced it. And he was there because of the word of God. He was there also because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because of his witness. Because of his example. Because of his teaching. That's why he was there. And he could not deny his Lord and Savior. He said, I need to do likewise. I need to share the good news with others. These were difficult times. They were in the midst of tribulation. They were facing dangers. They were facing death. They were facing ridicule. But they were willing to share what they knew with others. Another witness that we all know fairly well is Paul. And if we go to the book of Hebrews, he writes to a church that is going through difficult times, through tribulations. And he invites them to look at such a great cloud of witnesses. If we go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And because we have all these witnesses, he invites us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And he invites Christians to run with patience. That same word that we find there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, that race that is set before us. Where do we have the list of witnesses, that great cloud? Does anybody know? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, yes. And we find there names like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. We have names like Jacob, Moses, Rahab. And all these individuals, they were different. Some had this strength, others had this weakness, but they were all witnesses of what, brothers and sisters? Of Jesus and his faithfulness. Amen? Isn't that what their story is all about? It's not so much about Abraham's faithfulness, right? Did Abraham mess up? He did. How about Moses? Did he? Oh, yes. And you can go down this list and you can find, times where they were unfaithful. But who is always faithful? Jesus. It's the story of God's faithfulness toward each one of these men and women and their response of faith. Grasping, saying, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. I want to do your will. I want to give witness. I want to tell people what you have done in my life. But as Paul writes here in chapter 12, this race that is set before us, we need to run it with patience. Perseverance, with endurance. Those are all words that describe this word that he uses there. And I was surprised to find it also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, where John calls the other witnesses, he calls them brothers and companions in patience, in the patience of Jesus Christ. We need patience who run this race. You see, we human beings, we give up too fast. We give in too easily. We find reasons why not to do things that we know we're supposed to do. And God says, you're going to need patience. You're going to need endurance. This world is going to try to distract you. It's going to try to trip you, try to make you fall. You're not going to have the strength to get up and keep running. But I'm inviting you. I'm the one who gives you the strength. Amen? God is the one who invites us to run patiently. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, actually verse 2 tells us how to run this race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Boy, if you feel discouraged in your Christian life, who do we need to look at? Jesus. And look what he endured, what he persevered, how he was patient as he went to that cross and gave his life for us. Yes, God's faithful witnesses live based on the word of God. God's faithful witnesses follow the testimony of Jesus Christ. God's faithful witnesses are patient. They persevere in the race that is set before them. I want to share a small video of someone who witnessed, and they witnessed to a pastor. You might think, pastor? Why witness to a pastor? And pastors can be witnessed by others. And this is the story of Pastor Reggie Wooden. And I think I'm only going to do 7 minutes, but we'll see how much we can do this morning.
Good. And I'll tell you, I finally
Amen. Amen. The witness of a 10th grade girl. The witness of parents that loved this pastor to the point that they shared the truth of the Sabbath with him. And if I look at what a witness is in the scriptures that we've read this morning, they're people who live by the word of God and by the testimony of Jesus Christ. They identify themselves with those who have set their eyes on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of their faith. They are not afraid of what others might think or do to them. And they are living in such a way that they reflect Jesus in all that they do. There's a passage in The Desire of Ages, page 822, that I would like to share with you in closing. The Savior's commission to the disciples included all believers. It includes all believers in Christ to the end of the time. It is a fatal mistake to suppose that the work of saving souls depends alone on the ordained minister. All to whom the heavenly inspiration has come are put in trust with the gospel. All who receive the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. For this work, the church was established, and all who take upon themselves its sacred vows are thereby pledged to be co-workers with Christ. Can we be a witness in 2014, brothers and sisters? Are we invited to witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We are. We don't know the seeds that we're sowing, but one day we will reap with joy the fruits that God has planted in each one of those persons through your testimony, through our testimony. I believe Jesus is coming soon, and he's calling us all to be co-workers with him. Amen. This moment, I invite our deacons to come forward as we continue with our worship and giving. And our worship and giving, if you look inside your bulletin, is for religious liberty. And that's something that we cherish as Seventh-day Adventists. We fight for religious